We see the risks of terrorists or other bad actors using a dirty bomb to disperse radioactive material. We see the risk of that increasing.
Hi, and welcome to GAO's Watchdog Report, your source for news and information from the U.S. Government Accountability Office. I'm your host, Holly Hobbs. Radioactive materials are commonly used in medical and industrial devices. But even in small amounts, in the wrong hands, these materials could be used to make dirty bombs. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission, or NRC, is responsible for licensing commercial possession and use of radioactive materials to make sure they don't end up in the wrong hands. Our investigators went undercover to see how effective NRC's oversight of licensing is. Today we'll find out more from two GAO directors, Allison Bodden, an expert on U.S. nuclear weapons, and Howard Arp, an expert on investigations into fraud. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
So, Howard, to understand NRC's oversight and verifications of licensing, we tested it. How did we do it?
So we can't get into all the specifics of everything we did because we're not going to write a playbook for bad actors out there. But this was a significant joint effort. And to start with, we had to determine whether or not we would even be able to perform such an investigative effort and what all it would take to do so, recognizing that there were safety and security concerns given the material we were going to potentially be ordering. And so we had to consider many things that unfortunately a bad actor wouldn't have to consider. So we created some businesses and used fraudulent licenses to then make purchases from vendors in the United States of materials and ultimately requested to have those materials shipped to us and held at facilities. And then we declined those shipments and had them returned to maintain the material in the proper regulatory control. So that was really a very quick summary of everything we did and how we did it.
And what did we find?
What we found was our shell companies were able to actually purchase dangerous quantities of radioactive material and have that shipped to our businesses where we were able to then turn around and return those. And that was all done based on fraudulent licenses. And the licenses were never verified with NRC by the vendor, which allowed for our activities to occur.
Allison, there have been past incidents involving lost or stolen radioactive materials. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
You're right. These incidents are evidence of the risk that the materials can pose, especially if they're not appropriately protected. Most of these incidents, the 4,500 that you mentioned, were benign, but I want to focus on 34 of them that weren't. These 34 incidents represent events involving theft and sabotage and vandalism of high-risk radioactive materials. One of these incidents occurred in April 2019 when a technician was arrested after stealing three iridium-192 radiography devices from his workplace in Arizona. According to a court filing we reviewed, the technician intended to release that radioactive material at a nearby shopping mall, but was arrested after a two-hour standoff and before he could do so. So these are real-life things that happen and risks that need attention.
So then let me ask this. We were looking for weaknesses in NRC's licensing to use and possess radioactive materials, but how is it supposed to work?
It's a great question, and obviously it's complicated. And it's important to note that radioactive materials are really important materials to multiple industries in this country. Medical devices, food sterilization, industrial sterilization all use radioactive material, and appropriately so. And so generally, NRC's licensing process is based on risk associated with different quantities of radioactive material, because the more material you have, the riskier it is. So NRC breaks quantities down into five categories, with categories one and two being the highest and requiring the most stringent security measures for those who possess it or want to purchase it, as well as the most stringent licensing requirements.
Howard said something about vendors reaching out to NRC to verify licensing. When is that supposed to happen?
So when someone seeks to purchase a Category 1 or 2 quantity of material, there is a license verification process in place. but to purchase a Category 3 quantity of material, which is what we did during this investigation. Under current licensing rules, the vendor selling the material simply needs to obtain a copy of the purchaser's license, and no independent verification of that license is required. Because licenses can be granted by NRC or any of 39 states to which NRC has delegated licensing authority, licenses can look really different from one another, and that makes it easy for a vendor not to know quite what to look for. Plus, licenses are still often paper-based, and that can compromise their integrity. So we demonstrated during this investigation that a bad actor could take steps to change a paper-based license and create fraudulent licenses. We made multiple purchases of Category 3 quantities of material that we believe could have been accumulated into a Category 2 quantity of material.
And this actually isn't the first time we've investigated NRC's oversight, right? What did we do in our prior work?
So this is actually sort of the fourth investigation that we've done, going all the way back to 2006. In March of 2006, we demonstrated that it was possible to transport unlicensed radioactive material through ports of entry into the U.S. using a fraudulent license. In 2007, we used a shell company to obtain a valid NRC license, and we altered that license to secure commitments to purchase a dangerous quantity of radioactive material. And then in 2016, we again established multiple shell companies and successfully obtained a valid license for one of these companies that we again altered and used to secure commitments to purchase material.
And Holly, I would like to add here, the important distinction in this particular piece of work is that here we actually made the orders and had the material shipped to a shipping facility nearest our businesses, whereas in the prior ones, we just obtained commitments to make purchases. So we didn't actually go through the full process of purchasing the material. So that's a significant difference between this work and the prior work.
I think this all sounds very scary. We're a government entity trying to test the system, but there could be others testing the system that have more dark intentions. Do we know if the vulnerabilities in NRC's oversight actually led to any radioactive materials ending up in the wrong hands, or is this just something we're concerned about at this point?
Fortunately, as of right now, this is something we're just concerned about. But based on our current and prior work, we see the risks of terrorists or other bad actors using a dirty bomb to disperse radioactive material. We see the risk of that increasing. That assessment is based on other federal agencies that are doing their own assessments of this risk. And our prior work shows that even small amounts of radioactive material can produce billions of dollars in economic damage, as well as economic and social upheaval. And our new report shows that some key controls to keep these materials secured are not yet effective.
So Allison and Howard just told us that GAO's investigation into the Nuclear Regulatory Commission's oversight of licensing showed weaknesses that could result in the illegal purchase and use of dangerous radioactive materials, which could then be used to make a dirty bomb. So Allison, what steps do we think NRC should take to improve its oversight?
In this investigation, we highlight a few things. First, NRC has already begun a rulemaking process that would require license verification for Category 3 quantities of material. It could take until the end of 2023 for that rulemaking to be completed. And so we've recommended that NRC use authorities that it has to more immediately require license verification for Category 3 quantities of material. In addition, we have recommended that NRC take steps to improve the integrity of its licenses so that they are less subject to fraud, such as requiring two-factor verification or other kinds of measures that would help validate the veracity of a license.
And last question, what's the bottom line of this report? Allison, maybe you can start.
Radioactive materials are in significant use throughout this country for all kinds of medical and industrial purposes, and it's really important that our security regime protect these materials and ensure that the people who possess them are appropriately licensed. Over the last decade plus, we've demonstrated opportunities to improve that licensing system, and this investigation showed that we still have opportunity to improve that.
And Howard?
Yeah, I would add that this investigation also shows GAO's ability to perform our oversight work and the unique tools we have available to us to conduct work such as this, even whenever there is significant safety and security considerations, but that it is extremely important to ensure the safety of these materials to avoid any potential bad actor obtaining material and causing harm to citizens and others.
That was Allison Bodden and Howard Arp talking about GAO's recent review of NRC's oversight of radioactive materials. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Holly.
Thank you, Holly.
And thank you for listening to The Watchdog Report. To hear more podcasts, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. And make sure to leave a rating and review to let others know about the work we're doing. For more from the Congressional Watchdog, the U.S. Government Accountability Office, visit us at gao.gov.